Blog Talk Radio.
Good to be back with you guys. It's been a long while.
I know it. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better, thanks.
Oh,
how about you?
Oh, good. Yeah, great. Yeah. Had a very busy week at work, but it's good that it's Friday, and I'm glad to be here on the radio.
Yeah, how you been, George?
I've been fine. I hate this rain that we've been having. It's been raining here for about 4 or 5 days. I've had enough.
Yeah. We hope we're coming to the end of that, and we hope we'll have a nice sunny weekend.
Yeah.
But compared to the weather they've had in some parts of this country, I guess we really can't complain too much.
We're pretty much blessed, yeah. But I think, too, the important thing to remember is that, I don't know what I wanted to say was this the bizarre aspect of the 21st of May. I have no idea. Nobody seems to know, other than the guy who came up with it, how he came up with it.
So, George, do you know very much about him? The person who's declared that May 21st is the end times day?
Harold Campy? Camping?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've known him for a long time, and, you know, he's a Christian minister, and he's been preaching on the radio for years. And he's had a hell of a following. I mean, you know, he does go through the Bible, and there are a lot of people, millions of people who have followed him throughout the world. And, you know, apparently he thinks that, you know, the end of the world is coming starting March 21st, which is tomorrow at 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something like that.
May
21st, yeah.
Eastern Standard Time.
According to the mainstream media, this is the second time he's declared the end of the world. And he said he didn't get it right the first time, obviously.
In 1992 or something like that. But, you know, it's amazing. Just amazing. But, I mean, the reason I brought that up, George, is because what we've been talking about with 212, the Mayan calendar, the polar shift, and so on, we, you know, based on 3,500 years of prophecy, as well as a tremendous amount of research and, you know, archaeology and everything else. And
seems more credible.
It has. And the concept based on that evidence and on all the things that have come true.
Lila? You said it's more credible. Well, what did you mean by that?
Well, it just seemed like there was more scientific research to go along with the
what they're saying is happening and so forth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know.
Between May 21st and October or November, that's not very many months.
It's only 6 months
it's
away.
Only 5 or 6 months away, so I don't see really much difference in that.
But the difference, though, is that this guy thinks the world is going to end and everyone's going to be raptured at that point.
Well
it's the start of rapture, Leo. That's what he's saying, that, you know, this is the start of the rapture then. And, there was a series of books, or Gone Again, I forget.
About it, yeah.
Do you see much difference, though, George, in, let's face it, something's going to happen.
Well,
I don't know whether either it's been interpreted by humans with human minds. So I'm sure that we're looking at it from a human limited cognitive point of view because, you know, we're limited by our humanity. I do think that something's going to happen. Is it going to happen the way we think it's going to happen? Maybe not.
And, you know, and even so, like I was thinking of my reaction to Peter Moon's new book, you know, The Transylvanian Moonrise and Sunrise. And it's like this stuff so incredible. I mean, it's probably as incredible as this guy's, May 21st rapture. As far as on par with believability, but the difference is that tunnel or that place does exist.
Yeah, but our listeners aren't going to know what you're talking about.
Well, I spent a number of shows on that.
Explain what you're saying, Leo.
But on Transylvania Moonrise, Peter Moon's book by Radu Sinemar, entails a visitation, if you will, by a blue goddess, okay? And who gives Radu a very ancient text, okay, by Rinpoche.
And that's just a title. That means divine one.
Yeah.
Leo, I understand what you're saying there, but let's go back a bit here because you're talking a bit ahead of yourself. With the idea of people believing this, you have to understand that there's a collective consciousness that's maintained here. And, you know, I would say that, you know, people who believe that, who believe the rapture will start tomorrow, it will start tomorrow, and it will start tomorrow for them. And this is where, you know, you basically tap into a collective consciousness that's set in motion, just like Christians will, you know, in the return of Christ, that when he comes, everybody will be judged for who and what they are. But I think right now we're at a point where these are things that we put in front of us, our intent in life, you know, to accomplish and so forth. We put these things in front of us to accomplish. Now, the situation is we are at a time, a turning point, where things that have been put in motion since the past before you can remember were set in motion, and that has been the track that we've been following for these eons of time and years. So what's happening is at the end of this cycle, all those strings that we've accumulated, that we've attached ourselves to, will dissolve, that we will no longer be held to the conscious connection we have with that. And what's happening right now is the strings that you have out attaching yourself in a certain way or a certain understanding, you're being drawn toward that, and that is manifesting itself. Now, what the Mayans are talking about, we're ending a time where we will go into complete co-creation with the universe. And we will be on this cycle for the next, let's say, 18 months, and we will experience that before the ending of this time period. So I'm just saying that there's a lot of things that are set in motion right now, and a lot of these things are going to manifest themselves because they have to, because the people or the consciousness that's gone into it, not only the thinking but also their heart, is making it happen. And, this is what we have created as consciousness in motion.
Well,
and I've talked enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, this fellow also thought it was going to happen in 1994 or 92.
And of course, it didn't happen, and nobody did. And if you remember right, remember Hale-Bopp, that comet, and they had those the Looney Tunes that castrated themselves before the comet came and then committed suicide.
So what do you think the difference
is? That was all a big...
I'm sorry, Leo, what was that you were talking about?
Hale-Bopp. Remember Hale-Bopp, the comet?
Oh, the Hale-Bopp. Oh, yes, okay, I'm sorry, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The late 90s.
So what do you think the difference is now? Do you think it's more accurate timing in now than it's been in the past, that people's estimations were off in the past, and that this is... Because the Mayan calendar is very close to this,
mm-hmm.
and they all kind of points to the same time frame. Do you think this is a more accurate estimation of when things are going to begin to change?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that they have been changing, and this is just part of what we're experiencing, the changing, the turning over, the collapsing
mm-hmm.
of the old and the new beginning. But like I said, you have to complete, what you started.
Right. Do you think that people will be expecting, because tomorrow is May 21st, they don't see it as a beginning. They think that everything's going to happen all at once.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. Who's to say how that's going to manifest itself?
Right.
For some people, it doesn't take much for them to, let's say, fall under the spell or be captured by the energies of it. Who's to say, other than energies right now are working in strange way, they don't follow a linear course. Believe me, they don't.
Yeah, if you look at the revelation, which is what this guy is basing everything on, there's only 144,000 people that are gonna lifted up, yeah. Elsid and judgment of the world, whatever. But it's a hocus pocus kind of craziness. But it's like it's only 144,000 people.
So they're gonna judge everybody else?
Yeah. So this guy Camping obviously thinks he's gonna be one of them. And
maybe not.
And the guy who just spent $5 million on a campaign to advertise it probably thinks he's gonna be one of them. But it's like, trying to understand the rationale behind this. I mean,
does it matter, Leo?
Well,
does it matter at this point?
Because it's crazier than the Mad Hatter,
Sure.
But the problem with dealing with this is, so is the Mayan calendar, so is everything. Okay, all the religions are crazier than hell.
I think what's interesting
is
all it's all in the same kind of time. It's all in the same time frame. It's only
I tried to explain this in Believing the Unbelievable last night. That was the topic of the show, and you have to go with certain things. I don't know why you believe the certain things that you do. To me, certain things that other people believe in is
crazy.
Other things that I believe in, people look at me like I got four heads. So it's like, who's right and who's wrong? I don't know. But all I'm saying is, I don't think that tomorrow. I mean, there really are no signs that tomorrow would be any different than the day after.
Well, what about November? Is there any?
Well, the signs leading to October 28th.
Or October.
And the like what happened on March 9th which was the ninth wave, beginning of the ninth wave. All of a sudden we had Fukushima the next day, all right? The same thing with other signs, other time. There are so many signs of the times.
But you could probably look back and find some signs too. I mean, the world is a big place.
Yeah, but nothing to the extent of the Fukushima meltdown, which.
Well, I'm looking at the times right now we're going through, and you know, it's astronomical events that are happening.
My God,
And you know, you take a look at that flooding right now that's going on in the Midwest, in the Mississippi River.
Yep.
This is happening right now. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had those tornado down. We killed over 300 people. This is unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, but it's not, because it happened. It happened in the 1970s and in 1973, and then it happened again in 1937 or something like
uh-huh.
that. So, I mean, these are cyclical weather patterns that happen every 60 years or so. But the problem is that,
people went and built on places where they shouldn't have built.
Right, but my concern is stuff
doesn't
like...
Doesn't mean I still don't feel bad, because I do for them.
Yeah, of course. But my biggest concern are things that the environmental catastrophes that are man-made, like this Fukushima, which may very well destroy...
With the oil wells in the Gulf of Mexico? You want to include that?
Exactly, that and Fukushima, which may very well destroy one third of the world's oceans.
Let's face it: if fresh water covers the land and then dries up and recedes, the land is okay. That's a natural event. If oil pollutes the land, that's exactly what it's
radiation.
I mean, the earth is very resilient; it can recover from water covering the land. But I don't know how well it covers from radiation covering the land. It
takes 25,000 years for that
And we caused those events.
Well, Leo, that through normal physics, yes. But I'm saying there are other ways in dealing with this pollution, atomic pollution. And, you know, Mother Nature will take care of herself if left to be. You know, we have ways now of transverting it or transferring it, I guess, into other elements.
Well, we're not doing that.
We're not doing it, though.
They didn't do it in Russia, and everybody's deformed.
In Chernobyl, they didn't.
Yeah,
do
I
it.
Know, I know, I know. But here you're dealing with technology that you just can expose in an open field of free democracy or free capitalization. I mean, you know, the understanding of free energy. Is a no-no. Things are being forced to happen right now, and part of this ending of times, if you'd want to call it that, it's the ending of the petroleum era, and, you know, the new cycle is, natural energy sources, and we have them, but it's just a matter of informizing them or somebody taking the leadership force and starting a revolution in this technology that we need to deal with the mess that's left behind with petroleum. But there's our alternative ways.
I understand that, but you know, you read this. You've read parts of this book dealing with David Anderson, right?
Yes.
His formula. As the book progresses, more there's more talk about his time experiments, and that there's the energy source that could create, and we're but these things and Peter Moon mentions it in his book how secretive they are. He says that the government programs are 10 to 15 years. Ahead of anything that we're told about, and the censorship is very great on these things. But what I'm driving at is they're not using anything. They're just letting it go. I mean, they're shrugging their shoulders. Believe me, I would think if there was some kind of a technology to save Japan right now, they would have used it. You know, and the other thing that amazes me too is that in India. Well, where there's such incredible poverty and ignorance and unbelievable
pollution.
Pollution, yeah, everything's going wrong in India. And what do they got? According to this book, they've been working on, they have the highest degree they have been working on this time-space experiments for decades. Okay?
Really?
And they're the most accelerated science programs in the world right now on these things, and regarding this area, and yet they can't even clean up their own freaking mess out there. All right, so they don't want to. I guess maybe they got too many people. They're gonna kill them off, just like they're planning to do here.
Mm-hmm.
But
Leo, I've been talking.
Yeah, go ahead, George.
I've been talking for years about what we need. Let's say the last 17, 18 months, what we need is an intervention here. Remember me talking about this? There's another factor about this May 21st and yada, 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 is that, the alien acknowledgement should be released by the government and whatever powers that be and so forth. But it is also a time where, the Mayans talk about we will be meeting up with our galactic neighbors.
I think that would be great. Don't you?
Without a doubt. But I think, in connecting up, with outside of civilizations, I'm sure there's different technologies that we could share, but we can also look at, and one technology that we do have, and we've talked about a bit about this scalar wave technology over the years, and this is the other part of physics that is not talked about, and even our weaponry and so forth, could bury nuclear bombs and so forth because it's much more effective, and it is instantaneous. But this technology deals in physics, which goes beyond the realms of time. That with David Anderson, it's manipulating the time factor, how much time, how fast time is, or how slow you can slow time down to. But manipulating time, there's an energy source that is not connected with time or the speed of light, which is constant. And it's part of that black space around us makes up 90% of the vacuum around us. What we see is just 10% of the energy within that vacuum. But I'm saying that I think it's time for this intervention, and I think it's coming. And I also think Mother Nature is intervening here in a sense where, I do believe, she's an entity within herself. If she could take care of herself, she has for millions and millions and billions of years. I think we're going to go through some times where, even with a polar shift or a changing of the currents that's happening right now, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I think it's just part of this crisis shifting that the Earth is going through. We are going through the same thing, and part of that is understanding, the end of this time and starting of new ones. It's not starting of a new life; it's starting of a new reality or a new consciousness that's being released and given to us, because the old ways of seeing and experiencing consciousness is over with, and that is part of the big jubilee that we're experiencing right now. The Wicked Witch of the West is dead or is dying, and once she's out of here, it's an altogether different world. So, go ahead.
He talks about this in this book, this Transylvanian Moonrest, and he discusses they discuss the relationship of man and the world, man and nature, man and the world, and that man and the world have the same natures, basically. All right, we mirror one another, and what we do to the world does back to us. Okay. In other words, if we pollute it, and we destroy it, and we kill it, and we, you know,
well, the world is polluting us back.
That's right. The world is taking that negativity, taking that destruction, taking all of this ilk, and turning it back on us.
Leo, if you pollute the water and you have to drink water, you're going to get polluted
exactly.
yourself.
Exactly. It's a mirror effect. Is what this book's saying.
Well,
that is what
common
this
sense. Yeah.
It's common sense, but it to you, but to the guy who's throwing pesticides in his lake, okay, he doesn't give a crap. He thinks it's all right. You know what I mean? And it's like, but the key is, on his grass or on his whatever. But it's like the key to this, what it says in this book is that we're now beginning to understand, and we've now reached a point where, you know, nature is now throwing it back at us. It's
rebelling,
and it's caused so much imbalance that it's now, you know, going to correct itself. And it also mentions it also mentions the elevating of people's opening of their minds, opening of their consciousness, and this is happening because the time is now, the time is right, this is when it has to happen, and if you believe what Peter Moon wrote in this stuff, where in this Radu Sinemar. I was writing about his experience with the Blue Goddess and how she gave him this parchment and this more or less a blueprint for
the future.
For the future, all right, and how to correct it, how it's this prophecy.
That's what the Bible is. The Bible is a blueprint for the future.
Yeah, but the Bible is a blueprint for the destruction of the future. This is a transdimensional being who has given us a blueprint.
Maybe that's what the Bible is too. But you said the problem with the Bible is that you have human beings who are very earthly.
No, the problem with the Bible is it's been so polluted.
Yeah.
Okay, by so many politicians and political intrigue.
Who knows what it said originally?
Different churches and the splinter groups and the fact that the Bible that everybody reads, which is the King James Version, okay, was actually written and interpreted by Francis Bacon. Okay, who was a Mason and was the founder of Rosicrucianism, all right? And and that King James was noted as a pervert during his time, all right? He was a pagan and avarice tendencies.
Leo, what you're saying is right. I mean, there was some manipulating, there's no doubt about it. But, I think if you follow it, you can follow the evolution of the people who they write about in the Bible, how they struggle just to live and survive.
The problem is, George, is that once history is revised, and once everything is revised, all right, then everything is based on falsehood, all right? So the entire world starts to operate from a false foundation, all right?
Yeah, Leo, you are right there, but you didn't let me finish.
Yeah, good.
What you're saying is right, But you see, you have to understand it's the struggle that mankind or consciousness has when, you know, they have a closed view of reality. A closed view is closed view with their mental of a mind instead of their body. And, you know, we can take this back here where a part of us relearning again was connecting back with ourselves, but it was through the mind. And this is where the Egyptian Thor came into being, where we were given the ability to read and write. For us to gain knowledge from the outside world is through the mind. Now, understand that salvation that they were looking for was the breaking away of this way of living and combining. The salvation is combining with the God. And that is through unity consciousness of connecting with the heart, like the Aborigine people do down in Australia. I mean, it's a unity consciousness, but they all connect through the heart, through the emotions, instead of the intellect. And part of understanding the Christianity and the salvation that the Muslims are seeking and the Jews is that this is a way back to the way things used to be, where we were able to think not only with our minds, but also with our hearts. But our hearts basically was the connection that we had to the outside world, or the outside box, if you'd want to call it that, because we all live in a superficial box that our consciousness and the consciousness that makes up the reality that we experience is restricted and confined to. So after 2012, what's happening is that box is going to open, and we're going to be able to jump out or go out and go into different states of reality. Now, when I say the box, everything in a box, I'm talking about, you know, not only the Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, the whole universe, as I understand it. You know, it's like the universe that was on the cat's bell, you know, in Aliens, you know, that Men in Black series.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically everything is confined to that ball, and that's the universe. So understand, we are dealing with reality duplicates the atom.
Yeah, we in fact, when did we discuss this? Maybe it was in that book, but how every dot. Oh no! It was that series of. Was it that series that you told me to review? That Indian guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yes, I know. I don't have my notes here in front of me. Yeah.
You've watched the majority of those. I watched about six or seven.
Kate, what's his name?
I can't remember. But the guy talks about how everything starts from a point. From a small point and expands outward.
Nassim Harman.
Right.
Nassim Harman, yes.
What's his name again, George?
Nassim Harman. Let me spell it out. Nassim Harman. Harameein.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And, people can go into YouTube. And he has a series of videos. I think there's 45 altogether, and they're 10-minute segments each. So each segment is broken in 10 minutes. And, you know, it's funny. It's taken me 30 years to understand, you know, the knowledge that I put together. And yet I was able to, in 1991, when I studied the sacred geometries, it was another 12-year initiation into understanding sacred geometries, but it took me 12 years to actually absorb it all. But yet, you can take a look at the material he puts into a form where it's easy to understand, and I think what I'm saying is that the initiation of my 30-year time, you can get probably, 8 or 9 hours right now, if you understand or just follow, you know, the information and the knowledge that, these videos will give you. It deals with all dimensions of reality, and it's some dynamite stuff. And if people who follow Drumbolo Melchizedek, like I have for years, I mean, it's nice to follow him, but sometimes it's hard for people to grasp some of the, I think, the understandings that are taken for granted. But I would recommend tune in to him and listen to what he has to say, because he's right on the money. Right on the money.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand. I think the... I forgot what I was going to say.
You were talking about the dots originally, you know, that...
I was thinking
and
that...
And the atoms and how much...
what you're saying is true, George. It took 30 years to figure out, but this guy's this guy's about, I don't know, he's been working on this since he was like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
And he said, and this concept just kept building and building and building
really?
In his mind until he finally... He made sense out of it mathematically and whatnot. But he said that, and what I loved about that was, yes, everything originates from a dot, basically, mm-hmm. and grows into it's a circle, and it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, and that same dot, the knowledge that's in that dot is also in every dot, no matter how big or how small. That segment, the atom, from the atom to the molecule to the, you know,
there's always a balance
to the universe,
everything.
To the, you know, it's all, the universe is in that infinitesimal dot.
Yes, everything is
the gold. Right, within that. And so, but don't lessen your learning, because had I not been... aware of all that we've talked about over the years, George, and my own research and everything, this would not have been as easy to comprehend. All right, I don't think. The same
no,
with you.
It's not.
You know, I mean, to come to that, to listen to that guy, okay, without any background knowledge, all right, without any understanding, you just go, what the hell is this guy talking about? You know. And you blow it away. But, you know, with some kind of foundation like we have, yeah, the guy makes a lot of sense. And the guy builds upon our knowledge, clarifying our knowledge, you know. So it's like if you don't know how to add one and one, all right, you know, the concept of two is a total alien concept. You know, it makes no sense to you, right? So, you know, we know how to add one and one regarding this stuff. So what he's coming up with makes perfect sense and is wonderful, because he summarizes 30 years, in my case 35 years, in your case 35 years or so, of this kind of study. So,
well, yes, but Leo, it's also interpreting that study. Like,
yeah.
Tampi talks about 144,000, right, who are going to reach... leave?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he talks about it that way, but the Bible is what he's basing it on, Revelation. It says that only 144,000 will be chosen to rise.
All right, now, Leo, it's interpreting what they're talking about, and it's understanding that it's when a person reaches, let's say, 144,000 years of experience or dimensions of reality, and we're dealing with 144, and these are the different octaves and the different dimensions that are experienced, let's say, within this reality. So understand that, you know, it's interpreting that.
Yeah, but that's not how they interpret it, George.
Yeah, but you're saying that there are many interpretations.
There are tremendous.
That's right, yeah. It's how you interpret it.
Yeah, and who knows what the right one is.
Don't interpret it like
does
that.
Does it matter? That's the point.
It doesn't mean that they're right.
Well, no, it doesn't mean they're right.
Well, it does. It does. it means that they're right and they're wrong at the same time. They're both.
Well,
yeah, I understand what you're saying, George, on that.
Yeah. It's like I keep thinking of the cosmic law that all truth is half truth, all right? And that's
because we can't get out of our own way.
That's right. And we don't know. Like you said, we only know 10%, okay, of what there is.
Sometimes we can only see 10%, right?
And, you know, so we work from the heart. Well, that's fine. But we also have to work through our head. That's why we've been given a head. So it's like,
that head is limiting us because it's human brain.
Oh, absolutely.
There are lots of things you can't conceive of because
have to use your head to read.
You have to use your head to write. I understand that, Leo, but it's a limitation just like senses are a limitation. I mean, you look and you see a solid object, but we really know that nothing is solid.
Well, we know that now.
Yeah, we know that now.
We didn't know that before.
No, we know that now, and yet I constantly see a solid object, and that's the way the brain is.
Right.
The brain
creates that.
Brain can only work with what it has.
That's right.
That's why, as George says,
and it's a unity consciousness This is what it is. It's the unity consciousness that sees that a typewriter is a typewriter, or the thing is a thing, or the cloud is a cloud, or the house is a house. It's a group awareness, a group consciousness. You've been taught to believe that this is what it is, okay? But now you're learning to believe that it's not what it is.
Lila?
Yes.
Lila?
Yeah.
I understand what you're talking about. And I find now with my own life that, you know, I could focus on something or see something in front of me, and I see it clearly.
Right.
But, you know, it's like the side peripheral view of whatever I'm going against. I mean, how things pass my vision, you know, as I follow and go after, you know, this thing catches my attention. It's like a shadow, and it's like going through a tunnel. And I see it at the end of the tunnel, and the side of the tunnel, you know, it's like everything is fading out. It's like landscaping that's not really in focus. And I find it with other things around me that, you know, it's like that. It's not that I don't recognize them. It's like, you know, my focus is not on them completely, and they're like an illusionary sense. It's like a dream state. And I've mentioned this a couple of years ago, that I feel sometimes I'm living an active dream. But, you know, I find it now with my focus and things that are happening in my life. And that's where I see the difference. I feel a difference. And I if nothing else, is maybe focusing into that thing that, you know, my intent is focused into.
Well, you see, you mentioned that what many, you know, Peter Moon mentions it in his book too, but the group consciousness, the group belief, all right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What it does is it manifests into whatever it is that belief system is originating.
Right.
However, it doesn't mean that it is the correct, that it's correct.
That's true.
All it means is it's more or less a dream, okay?
Right.
You're visualizing or
creating. Well, that's how change is created. Let me give you an example. In the past, people believed in this country that there could only be two political parties, a Republican Party and a Democratic Party. People are recognizing now that neither of those parties are fulfilling what they dream of. So they're beginning to dream of other things. And when people collectively dream enough together or think enough together, then a third thing is created. Because then that is synchronicity. And when people begin to think of the same thing at the same time, and that creates a movement. That's how the peace movement was created, because people were thinking of the same thing of the, at the same time.
Or the civil rights movement.
Right.
Or, you know.
That's
the,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All of these movements
are created that way.
Exactly. But you need, you needed a leader, always needed a leader or a visionary to bring that about.
Haven't been able, you know, let's stick with the peace movement. You can see that that comes and it wanes, and it comes and it, you had Martin Luther King, you had Gandhi, you had Mandela in South Africa. You have Cesar Chavez that you've been talking about in this country as well. But we haven't been able to sustain that energy and that vision for that movement for very long.
Right, it lasts 10 years or 5 years.
And then it fades
again,
and then we go. Then we go back to.
Because there's so much negativity and there's so much power, so great power.
Did I get off the track, George? I'm sorry if I did.
No, you didn't. There's so much power against you.
No, but see, what you've done though is that now it's on you. Instead of the leaders that transpired, this message years ago, you can't duplicate that again. That's for sure. And you can spend the rest of your life trying to relive that or remake that, but it will never happen. But now we're being transformed into that illusion. We've been attracted to, or part of. Now is taken on an individual basis instead of a unity basis, because you don't need a unity anymore. You can create that by yourself. So, the thought is, is it worth it pursuing, or, just letting it go and whoever's still attached to it, will experience that. If it's needed or not needed, it's available.
In this book, the Transylvanian Moonrest, they talk a great deal about this how not just movements are happening, but what happens is that people forget that they get so focused on something that they forget that time keeps moving on, and everything keeps changing. The world keeps changing and changing and changing, but people refuse to change and believing that. Yeah, well, what happens is they become relics, or
irrelevant.
Like old hippie guys that are thinking they still live in the 60s.
I call it complacency.
Huh?
I call it complacency.
Not even complacency. Just a rigid sense of. Of self awareness that they have. They have this self image of themselves in this era, in this time, and that this should be.
They only think that they don't think any further than that period,
and
that's where they stop.
And that's
when they stop growing, and so they fade away.
And the world around them is continually going. Grass keeps growing, and winters and spring, fall, summer, it keeps going. So what happens is that's what happens to these particular movements, where they don't evolve as time evolves, They stay within the iconic framework that they were founded on,
That's what's happening right now with a lot of the structures. That's the point that George has made, actually, in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
That everything is falling apart because you can't hold on to the old. You have to change and evolve. Everything has to change and evolve.
And the thing, too, is that a lot of people are stuck in the thought of 2,000 years ago when Revelation or when whatever was founded, when it was written, or when these ideas were expounded upon. And nobody has the audacity or the nerve, to argue against them, because they become so rigid and so dogmatic.
Lots of people have. Their structure just stays, and other people.
You still got Catholics who refuse to do it, and you still got this, and you still got that.
Well, they don't have to change. Other people.
They're not moving out of it.
Well,
for some people, They need this.
That's
some
right.
people
no,
need an ending
George,
so
George,
they can start anew.
They need it. But what I'm saying is that it's a fallacy, because if you don't change with the, if you don't recognize the evolving world, okay, if you don't recognize the, you know, that suddenly, you know, your old way 2,000 years ago makes absolutely no sense to anybody 2,000 years now. You know what I mean?
Well, it makes sense to some people. They're stuck and they stay there.
Right.
They don't grow, that's all.
That's right. So that you become like the Taliban, where you're still living in the 14th century.
That's
What's
right.
wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Well, look at the Taliban. You want to be a Taliban guy? You know, cutting off
What's
people's
wrong
nuts
with that?
Stoning everybody, and you know, is that the way to be?
I don't know. They raise children. They feed each other. On Fridays, they go to the supermarket and go shopping for the week. I mean, what's wrong with that?
All right. Well, the fact
no, really, what's wrong with that? They just live differently and believe differently.
Yeah, look at what the Taliban stands for. Look what it is. It's not what you think. I mean, women are circumcised. Women are, ostracized.
They have to cover up. They can't go to school. They can't get jobs.
Yeah. I mean,
they
it's
can't.
A total, absolute.
You're right. You're right.
It's an anti-feminist society.
Absolutely. Brutal society based on.
Yeah, but you know what they do, what they can do? They can have love for one another. They can produce children. They can raise the children and feed the children.
Yep.
And, you know, spread their genes or pass on their genes to the next generation. And all they want to do is live and make babies and, you know, continue their race.
Yes,
What's wrong
yeah.
with that?
Yeah, huh? I mean, you know, the dog can do that, all right? It's not
yeah,
a, it's
right,
not
but, you know, but understand that some people have been doing this for thousands of years, and they still do it.
Yeah, but they're freaking nuts, George.
No, they're not.
Nuts.
Look at it. No,
everybody nuts, and that's why they're sitting in this little area, all right, and beating the hell out of their women and, you know, killing their men and you know, insisting that they live under the
George,
terms of the of,
George,
of,
it would
of
be fine if it was only limited to people who wanted to live
they're
that way.
Nuts.
But would you be quiet?
Yeah.
It would be fine if it were only limited to people who want to live that way, but they force other people who don't want to live
right.
that way to live that way.
Yeah, so I know. You're right.
So,
you are right, but I'm just saying that, I mean, you're going to, if you find a way, you know, somebody is going to distort it for their own good. So, you know, it may be a good way to begin with, but, you know, it gets distorted and that's what happens. So sometimes
right.
you have to change, and that's what's happening. But I'm just saying that these people follow a tradition that goes back, you know, 3,000-5,000 years ago, even before any known civilization that we can recall, even the Roman Empire. You know, they've been doing it for years.
It's barbaric, you know.
Well, it is, Leo, it is. But you know what? It's a way of life, and they've been able to do what they have to do and enjoy and be content in their life. And what's wrong with that?
It's fine if that's what they choose, but if they
want to
choose.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not faulting people for that. It wouldn't work for me to be so confined and have to stay the same. I wouldn't like that.
Well, if you can't teach your kids, you can't. You're
if you're a girl and you
slaves,
can't go to school and
yeah.
you're a slave as a woman, I don't think I'd like that.
Or you have these traditions in India or
the
in,
caste system,
you know, where
the
caste
untouchable.
Or these where you know if a widow if
she has to go live with her husband's family and be a slave.
And be a slave to them. And some of them are killed, you know,
yeah.
because they're killed by them.
Go and commit suddy.
Yeah.
They rather burn
yeah.
alive than
and,
to live
and,
like
and
that.
And to live like a slave.
A slave
so
and their
like,
husband,
so what
mother-in-law.
What these countries have done, okay, in the name of whatever God or whatever they their
throw it under religion.
Yeah, you know, is insane. Just like our insanity. I mean, what Christians claim to be doing in the name of Christ and holiness, going over and killing millions of Muslims, okay, is absolutely insane. But yet we tolerate it and say, oh, it's God's will, blah-de-da-de-da, okay? So, you know, it's God's will to kill millions of everybody, just billions of people, all right? So let's everybody die and you know, recreate the world.
Then we bring those people back and give them medals for killing other people.
I believe,
does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I believe that we're given the brains, the brains and the brawn to know better and to try to stop these things and try to correct these actions in a moral, humane, dignified, and compassionate way.
To me, if you were trying to get control of a starving of a country like Afghanistan, it seems to me if you went and you
fed them rather than kill them,
that you'd get a lot further.
Yeah.
You know, so if all the money that we've taken and spent on killing people in Iraq and Afghanistan and
Pakistan,
where we don't like to admit where we are, I think we'd do a lot better personally. I'd rather give them the money to live better and build them waterways.
Yeah, instead of spending the money on killing them, spend the money on helping them.
Lifting people up.
It would be a lot cheaper and it would be a lot more beneficial. And that's what we're saying.
Isn't it better to make a friend than to make an enemy?
I agree with you right there. And I just want to back up, if we can. You know, you're talking about India.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the poverty that goes on there. And their religious habits and so forth, you know. And, you know, I have to say, women working hats or burqas, you know, it is a religious custom, but it's also a way of life for some people.
Up so that the wealthy people or the royalty live very well.
It's set up
to control a society. It's really cultural more than religious.
Yeah,
oh, right. I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Afghanistan, Lila wouldn't be able to talk. We'd have to gag her.
Imagine.
Yeah, and every time she argues with us, we'd have to beat her and put her
in the corner. You know, There's a reason why this is happening, and that is changing. And yes, that is no good. And I think if nothing else, leave it to its own device, it will fall now because you know it's end of this male dominant period. It's all over with, Charlie. It's gone with. And this is where I do believe Mother Nature has come and take over. It's a female world. There's no doubt in my mind. Mother Azazu, the mother of nature, Mother Nature, has come back to the surface, and I think she's among us. And if nothing else, she's guiding us and supporting us in our anguish right now with just the way Earth is inhibiting them.
The one other thing I wanted to mention before we end tonight is the emphasis that particular book, again, I'm repeating it, the Transylvanian Moonrise, talks about is the validity of karma and reincarnation.
Oh, yes,
right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Once you understand these laws or these aspects of the universe and humanity, if you will,
Well, it sounds very much like Buddhism.
It is
Buddhism.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about Transylvanian Moonrise before we go off here, and it's by Radu Seminar and with Peter Moon, and that's through Sky Books. You can get him on the internet, and I recommend this book highly. It's the second book in his series, and Peter Moon is connected with the Montauk Project, and he was involved with, I believe, that series, but this is an excellent work, and this is just the beginning. And if nothing else, this tells us of how we're connecting with the outside world and with the inner earth and the underground knowledge that is there for us now. It's given to us now, and it's being opened now.
Yeah, we're going off the air in about 14 seconds, so anybody
okay.
wants and can do that right now. At 646-915-9505 and hear the rest of this for the next few minutes. If not, pick us up on the archives. And but what I wanted to say was before we end tonight was I wanted to reemphasize this what they stated in this book about karma, all right, and how it is unmerciful. All right, it's a strict karma has a very 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 strict
law.
It's a very strict law, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
As well as the which plays its part in the reincarnation factor of our existence, because what we've done in this life. Building up the karma or the credit, whatever the karma, good or bad, comes back to us in the next life, and we have to break through that, or else we wind up on the samsara wheel or the wheel of sorrow for the rest of our existence in the universe until we can break away from that. And if we that negative energy,
very difficult,
that negative energy, that negative
wheel.
Energy that we accumulate, and until we can either. Until we develop compassion and wisdom, and we use that together in this life, then we were destined to come back again because we'll have made
onto
all
the
these mistakes
again
and come back again in order to work out these issues, relearn, retrain. And what this book says, which I like, what Radu says, is that we are given this opportunity. Continually given the opportunity, but the more negative that we are in a life, the more we attach ourselves to the negative aspects of life, then what happens is we come back and we are even more negative and more negative and more negative.
Well, then it's
until
a downward
it can be a
spiral.
Horrible spiral until we, unless we, and he says what we have to do is we have to go back and open the channels to our past lives to understand what we've done and gain and the knowledge that we've
What
gained.
Do you think about that, George?
And that's the trick of it, believing that to happen. Now, I believe a little differently than that because I do believe that the time for reincarnation is over with, that we have accumulated enough knowledge and understanding in our lifetimes to be where we are right now. And we have experienced other dimensions or other realities, and we are accumulation of our experience and even our intention.
I think you're right, George. I think you're right on that, and I think that
but,
people
yeah,
will...
Let me continue, Leo. I think right now with this 2012 understanding is that now we're at a point where we're able to jump dimensions or jump frequencies of this consciousness, if you'd want to call it that, and get away from a physical consciousness reality. And what I was talking before
the
about the pop.
Plane. Right. Once this happens, we'll move into that hierarchy of dimensions. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well,
the only problem that arises is that once that you if some based on the negativity factor will enter into a lower plane where others will enter into a higher plane of ascension because of their lack of negativity, okay, or of their greatest negativity. Maybe everybody will rise to some level. But once they, but if they reach that level of the fourth dimensional state, what will happen is they will be in a period, in a place higher than they are now, But
maybe they
have
able
to work
handle
out.
It.
That's right. They'll have to work out
it's just like
their
some
desires.
People can't handle this one.
That's right.
So,
but you'll be in a higher evolutionary stage.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be dealing with the same karmic issues. All right.
But working it out through that dimensional way.
But working
way.
It out through that. And I love the way that he explains it in his book. And I recommend everybody to get a Transylvanian Sunrise. How the Lama and the
mm-hmm.
goddess speak to him and explain these aspects of karma and trans-dimensional existence and, you know.
Well, maybe we'll
things.
Get a chance to have him on the show and talk about this book. I would really look forward to that.
He doesn't talk to anybody. Radu?
Peter. Radu we can't have on, but Peter.
We'll have him on again.
I would love to have Peter on again, wouldn't you, George?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And Peter has offered... Peter has offered himself to us. I mean, he likes us, and over the years, we've fed him on a few times.
Yeah.
But
it's very interesting.
And I want to have him on. I finished the book.
I need to read it now.
No, you just got to read it. So, I'm going to. You gave me his phone number, and I'm going to get hold of him. And I know he's going back to Transylvania, but.
Be fun for the three of us to talk with him, don't you think?
I think it would be good to have another talk, understanding the book and understanding where he went with it.
And thanks
where
for
he's going with it.
Thanks for sending that on to us, George. We're really going to enjoy. I know I'm going to enjoy it, and Leo did. But we've come right to the end of our time.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That went fast.
That was a fast night with you, George.
Yeah. Well, I think Peter Moon. He'll keep us up to date if nothing else. And when I talked with him the other day, he said that he just got another invite to go back to Romania. So when I talked with him, he said that he was in negotiations, you know, for the third and fourth book in the series yet. But see, the problem is interpreting this or translating it into English from Romanian. And that's
he said in the appendix on this book that when he was talking about the second and third book, he hopes that we'll all be out in 2012.
Oh, that'd be good.
He even believes that this one could come out, the third one could come out by the end of this year. That's what he says in the book anyway.
That'd be great.
But you know, and the others, he says. But he said the fourth book, which is the parchment. That's the name of it. And the secret parchment, that book is the book that reveals the whole thing. Won't be able to be done until 2012, right into right near the end. He says, yeah, that's what he says in the book. He says it, but you know.
But that's how it is. Well, we'll look forward. We'll look forward to it. And it was great talking to you, George. And
thank you.
And we'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Always a pleasure.
And. Thank you all for listening, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. And tune in to us on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Same time, Wednesday and Thursday and every other Friday.
Yeah.
And have a great weekend.
All right, George. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, George.
So, let's go to... I'm going to play a favorite song.